Ahoy.
Hey.
Hey, Tone. What do you want? What do you want, Tone?
Can you dial it down just a notch, you fat tongue son of a bitch?
Sorry, Tone. My apologies. What do you want?
I just, if you could just stop your nonsense, because I have something very important to say to the listeners.
What's the big news? The restaurant's closed for good? Cape Coral can go back to normal?
This is not a laughing matter.
All right, I'm sorry. What is it, D'Antoni?
I just want people. I just want people to realize that life is precious.
It's so true, Tony.
And if you love somebody, you have to tell them every day. You can never say it enough.
Tony, now you got me a little worried here now. You're getting all... Did somebody die?
Stan, I have had quite a scare today.
What happened?
Well, as you know, in the mornings, I like my gardening and all that.
Yes, I remember you talking about that gardening. Very important. And over at the house, it's just you and Big Tim now.
Well, we do have a house guest, if you recall, a Haitian gentleman.
Hold it. That's White Glove's, like, cousin or nephew or something that you picked up on the beach.
Yeah, I don't remember if it's a nephew or some sort of relation, but he called himself the Jolly Man.
Yeah, and you gave him a job at your restaurant. What does he do?
Well, he's an entertainer. I'm trying to tell you about a personal tragedy.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Sorry, Tone.
So, before I do my gardening,
right,
I have to have my coffee and my cigarette.
Yeah, sometimes I have a cruller with that, too.
Sometimes I'll have a cruller. But before I do anything else, I always make sure that I remember to let Timmy out, because I let him out.
You let him out, what, like a dog?
Well, you know, he's been cooped up all night. You got to let him out. And I let him out. I go about my business, you know, and then the coffee and the cigarette, they work their magic, and I head off to the toilet and whatnot.
Well, I bet you there's just one bathroom in that house. But you got Big Tim, and now you got Jollymon. One bathroom and three grown men.
Yes, I think they actually used it as one of their model duplexes.
Yeah, how many bedrooms in that place?
Well, technically one.
One? I would assume a two-bedroom and a den.
Well, they call it a den, but it used to be where you'd put a washing machine.
Okay, I gotcha. What do you put down the cigarette?
I'm very upset.
All right. There was a loss. What's the loss?
And as I'm doing my gardening.
Yes.
I notice, oh, my God, somebody left the gate open.
Oh.
And Timmy got out.
I knew it. He got out. Timmy got out, everybody. Yeah. What? Oh, my God. Did you find him?
I found him about an hour ago.
Really?
And I'm never going to let him go again.
Oh, now, okay. You know what? Do you have a chip in him where if he gets lost?
No.
No chip.
But thank God. And people got to remember to do this. Please. Make sure that you keep all the vaccinations up to date, and you always use a collar.
Yeah.
And then you have your number with your address and your phone number.
Right.
Because without that, who knows where Timmy could have ended up. But a nice lady found him, And she called me up, and I headed over. And when I got there, I was so relieved. Timmy was just as happy as can be. He was playing in their backyard. And when I showed up, now, you know, you can imagine the relief.
Yeah.
But I show up there, and he's playing in the backyard. And when I walk up, he jumps up. And rubs up against the fence and all. He's just so happy. Just so happy to see me.
There he is.
Come here, Timmy. Come on, Timmy. Let's go. Let's go home, Timmy.
Yeah.
And he just bounding right after me.
Yeah. Yeah. He likes to ride with the window down, doesn't he?
Oh, he loves it. He loves it. He sticks his tongue out. And so it was a happy reunion.
Yeah.
But, I'm a little concerned that my house guest slash business partner is not taking things seriously, like keeping the gate shut.
Yeah, I mean, Jollymon has to know doors closed, no jumping on the furniture.
And the other thing is,
what?
Timmy was out there running loose.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, you know what? Getting him fixed was worth every penny.
Oh, my God. Yep. What does your business partner do?
Oh, well, he's an entertainer.
Stop telling me he's an entertainer, Tony. He's White Glove's cousin, nephew, something. You picked him up on the beach. You took him in. He's an entertainer. He calls himself the Jollymon. What does he do? You referred to him as your business partner. So far, he's living off of you, and he's taking over your restaurant and doing nothing. What does he do?
Well, on a typical day, he spends a lot of time in the back.
Doing what?
Well, he likes menthols.
Sure. Sure, in Haiti, I think menthol cigarettes are the best. But he's got to do something. Have you called White Glove about him and given him an update on, you know, when's he going to leave or anything like that?
I tried to call him, but I guess he's on some sort of world tour.
White Glove, John is.
Yeah, so White Glove spends a lot of time in the back. He's always impeccably dressed. He's a very vain man.
You mean Jollymon?
Yeah.
You know, he could be his twin.
You know, I'm elderly. Sometimes I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and you got Big Tim on the brain.
But, oh, my God, that big, beautiful son of a bitch. I'll never lose him again.
No.
I'll never lose him again.
Well, if Jollymon is living there, leaving the gates open, what did Jollyman say? Did you go up to him and say, Jollymon, business partner, can you please keep the gate closed? We don't want Timmy to roam.
Yes, I did, and he just did that 7-Up laugh and back slapped me. But when he's at the restaurant, a lot of the time he's in back smoking the menthols.
Right.
He's very vain. He's always playing with his hair, and he's costing me a lot of money.
Yes, so, but that's right.
I don't mind a fellow smoker.
Yep,
okay?
Yep.
But when you smoke a different brand, you know, it makes it tougher because I got to buy him his brand.
Wait a second.
And then...
You're buying him his smokes, too?
Well, he said it's what's required.
What do you mean, what's required? Does he have any money?
Well, he does now.
Because you're giving it to him.
Remember, he showed up, jumped off a boat.
Yup, and you went because you're friends with White Glove John. You went and met him illegally because he's an illegal.
But you see, I consider it an investment because White Glove John is a celebrity.
That means nothing to you. That means nothing. He's
so
not
anyway,
really a celebrity either, Tony. You're thinking of Wyclef John, not White Glove John.
Yeah.
This White Glove John's nothing.
White Glove John. That's it.
He's not a celebrity. He's So you've taken in Jollymon and you support him.
Money. And you know we had the nerve.
The
unmitigated goal.
Yeah.
Last night, he says to me, Tony, I require you to go to the store for me.
He should be going to the store for you.
And he wanted me to go to Costco.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, I'm thinking of you and trying to make it cheaper for you if you buy it in bulk.
You've always bought in bulk. What are you? What's he buying in bulk?
Well, I'd never heard of before, but what? I had to go buy a 55-gallon drum of cocoa butter.
What?
I don't know what he does with it.
What'd that cost
he
you?
Said, he said, trust me, in the long run, it's cheaper.
But you don't use cocoa butter. That's used in, like, suntan oil and stuff.
I don't know the first thing about it.
Let me ask you, Tony.
Let me tell you something else. It's not just the cigarettes that's different.
Yeah.
He requires different types of grooming products.
I understand that.
Me and Timmy never heard of.
Yeah, like?
Well, it's stuff to, I guess it's supposed to keep his hair wet.
Now we're up to our request and dedication. And it comes to us from Joe, a young man in Kentucky, who says he's found himself on the receiving end of a pain that's been passed down through the generations. Here's what he writes. Dear Casey, I'd like to dedicate a very special song I recently heard on the radio to my father, whom I've learned to understand over time. You see, Casey, all those years I was growing up, I never knew why my father never gave me a hug or told me he loved me. There were many times during my childhood I could have used a hug or a word of affection. I always resented my father for not giving them to me. It got to the point where I hated him because it really hurt inside. I thought I'd never forgive him. Then, about 5 years ago, we moved close to my grandmother. She and I had never met, but once we did, it explained to me why my father was the way he was. It was because he had never received a hug or been told he was loved. He had been hurt, too. It wasn't that he wanted to be cruel to me. He just didn't know how to act otherwise. So, Casey, could you please play that beautiful song I heard? It's from my father. To tell him, I finally understand. Signed, Joe. Joe, here's your request and dedication.
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on now. Listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haiti. Stan and Haiti. Stan and Haiti on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haiti, Stan and Haiti, Stan and Haiti, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show is so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. They'll fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
The tip of the Beasley Broadcasting, spear. That's it? Yeah, the spear. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Tuesday edition of the Stan and Haney program. We, Haney and myself, have always been a friend of the truckers, you truckers out there, you 18-wheelers, you CB ratchet jaws out there.
Yep.
We've known them. I personally have driven truck.
Well, I'll just let it stay there.
He has. I actually had to get a special license to drive truck. Now, that's since changed, but I know what you guys go through, and Annie and I appreciate the work all the truckers do, and I know it's a hazard out there a lot of times, especially in season when you got the people that don't know what they're doing out there.
Having
said that, number two, not number one, number two of my scariest things to see on the road is, and before I say it, I completely understand the circumstance. It still sends a chill through me. Is these dump trucks that are... Thank you. Appreciate it.
I figure if we're going to,
yeah,
you know, salute the truckers.
Absolutely agree. And this pertains to them. Yep. I've seen it several times. It happened to me today. I've seen it on the desirable Daniels corridor where there are a lot of lights. And I see it all the time on Alico Road because it's an industrial area. And there's a gravel pit over there, and they're hauling stuff, and there's a lot of construction going on, and there are a lot of lights.
Well, a lot of the old gravel pits now are beautiful lakes for new communities.
Yes. So what is happening, and I see it more times than not, when they're coming down Alico Road from Immokalee, and they're heading into Three Oaks and San Carlos... When you're hauling at 60 miles an hour, you can't stop. You can't stop like a regular car.
Oh, no.
So I'm at Three Oaks and Alico today, and this is one example out of 20 in the last month. So I'm making the right turn or left turn onto Alico, or left turn onto Three Oaks on Alico, and... The light turns yellow and then it turns red. And these dump trucks, these big giant Mack trucks who are hauling a load coming from Immokalee down Alico, can't stop. And I'm watching as I'm in the left-hand turn lane to go onto Three Oaks. I see the light go yellow, and I see it go red. And it's a 1-2-3 beat after it's turned red. And these dump trucks are flying by, still doing 60, because they're saying, point of no return, I've got to go through. And
well, it'd be more dangerous for them to attempt to stop.
Correct, because you have that heavy load. And you can't stop like a car does. And today was just another example of it where I'm just like holding on to the wheel. I'm watching the truck go by me and that light is red. And I'm like, oh, please don't pull out in front of that truck because there's nothing that's stopping it. They've got their full load. They got the tarp rolled up over the top of the bed and they're flying through without the ability to stop. And it was probably a good 3 seconds of red light. And, man, I feel for you guys. You got those air brakes. You got, that was my problem when I was a trucker. I had a resting left foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be driving along and realize, hold on a second. I don't have any air in the brakes. And do you remember Sarno Road in Melbourne?
Mm-hmm.
Was that Wickham that intersected with the Sarno Road?
Big intersection.
So I've got the lumber truck out, huge intersection, and I've got the resting left foot on the brakes. All the air's out of the brakes. And I'm hauling down Wickham to the Sarno intersection.
Oh,
and
you got no business doing that.
And there's no brakes there. It's like, holy geez, you got the emergency brake. I had just enough air in the brakes to stop. Just enough. I mean, it went right down. And I see these trucks go through like that, and it's like, my God. Here's a little tip. The guy that's always third and fourth in line when the light turns green and says, come on, come on, come on!
Mm-hmm.
Give it a second. Especially on roads where there's a lot of trucks traveling. It could save your life. These trucks, they can't stop. They can't stop.
They're not being jerks.
They're not being jerks. They can't stop. They've got to go through.
Truck thinks he owns the road, huh? Yeah. Well, I'll show him.
By the way, that's number two, and I won't get into number one. You know what number one is on my list of fears on the road, and that's grandma and grandpa who decide to rent the big Ryder truck. And they go to pick up a Ryder truck where a van would suffice, but they only have the big giant one there. And without a license or anything, give it to Ma and Pa to go out onto the road and drive. That's number one.
That's a terrible, bad idea. You know, I've had experience with that.
Yes.
And eventually, me and the truck made friends. But that was about 40 miles into my journey.
And you're a young man.
Yep.
Or at the time.
Hey.
You know what I mean. I'm watching these people that, you know, snowbirds. Well, let's go
that
and
should
rent.
Not, that's not something that should be rented out without at least, you know, a once over.
How many times do you go and you rent the truck? You rent it out a week in advance or whatever. You get to the thing. Well, we don't have the little cub cab. We've got this one, though, and you can take this one right now.
When I got
it's huge.
When I got it, we had something to do with the radio station where I couldn't pick it up at a normal time, and I had to go after hours ago. Well, it'd be obvious. It'll be the only truck on the lot, and it's in a locker. Here's the code to the locker. And I go, and it's this giant truck.
Yeah.
And I'm alone.
Yup. It's intimidating.
And I'm looking at this thing. I've never driven. I'm looking at this thing, and I'm going, this would probably be closer to like when I was driving a lawnmower to a car.
Yes! And it's intimidating. And you are a good driver. I'm a good driver.
You know what the worst was? Is as I'm like, okay, well, I got no choice. and I'm pulling out into traffic, and I'm doing okay. And the thing that truly frightened me wasn't the truck. It was that people around me just assumed I knew what I was doing and could maneuver like I was in a sedan.
And it's vice versa. I mean, people assume, well, he knows, must know what he's doing, when you realize that the person that's behind the wheel of that rental truck, whether the orange one or the yellow one or whatever one you're driving, they don't know what the hell they're doing. And secondly, you're assuming that, and they're... If you're driving that thing, you're praying to God nobody cuts in front of you or stops short on you.
Now, I eventually made friends with the thing and thought about, you know, maybe buying one
as a form
of transportation.
Yeah. Oh, it's a feeling of accomplishment once you get accustomed to it and you're all set and you're rolling along. And then you finally turn that truck back in and you turn back and look at it there in the lot and say...
She's good. Yeah. She's good, yeah.
It's all right there. Yeah. It's the truth. All right, we got to take a break.
You do. You start wearing different hats.
Yep.
You start dipping them, you know.
We'll be back.
You just become a little bit more confident.
Stan and Haney.
A soothing waterfall of character flaws coupled with the bitter taste of harsh judgment. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Hi, Brad. Hi, Brad. Tuesday.
You know, you got to hand it to the guy. You know, granted, he was born on third base. But he wears the responsibility.
Yeah.
And he has to come in here while we're doing the show, and we're the last people he wants to see.
Yeah.
But he has to come in here and make sure it hasn't mildewed.
Yep. Because we're having a water issue.
And he's an executive.
Yep. Yeah. A pretty damn high executive.
But he has to come in... And check on the water damage.
Yeah.
See, I don't want his job. I don't want to be checking on water damage.
Don't you understand? Don't you see what he just did? He checks on the water damage, hands on hips.
Throws a couple of barbs at us.
And then goes and tells somebody else to get it fixed.
Yeah, that's a step too far.
Okay.
See, I would just be in my office and tell somebody to get it fixed.
Yeah, but you got to eyeball it once in a while.
Because you can't trust these employees.
You're damn right.
They're like animals.
Yep. coming up on the show today in about 1 hour.
You don't go and check on it. There may not be a studio left.
Yep. Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law is going to be in the studio. He comes in every Tuesday for one reason and one reason only, to help you guys out. He'll take your legal questions. And maybe you're in a rut right now.
You got somebody being high-handed with you. Watch Mike level the playing field real quick.
He comes in and he's here for you. He can help. Also, later on today, Stan's Name That Movie. Today featuring, there was a ton to choose from, Christopher Walken.
Oh, God.
Five clips, movies featuring Christopher Walken. He's in every movie.
And going back decades.
Yes. So what I figured doing this, I got five clips to choose from.
I mean, the man was with Natalie Wood.
Yeah. Yeah. a couple of easy ones, couple of hard ones, one in between. But these are great clips. He, for a cameo, for a movie speech, he's the best.
Well, it's like him and Samuel L. Jackson found the one character that they would play for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, and they do it better than anybody else.
Yeah, and it's a character, but that character, then instead of them acting, that's what's in every movie that they're in, or audiences will feel like they're getting ripped off.
These are good ones. These are good ones. We'll do that later on today.
You don't cast Christopher Walken unless that's exactly what you want.
Right. You're picturing in the script. Oh, this would be great for a Christopher Walken would do. Well, that's who you got to get because it won't fit with anybody else.
You know, you want a senator or a president of the United States, you call Bill Devane.
Yup.
You don't call Christopher Walken.
Yup. You want to get somebody that's a little bit has a little bit of a screw loose, could kill you at the drop of a hat.
Or maybe could be harmless.
Yup.
But you don't know.
No. Unpredictable. Christopher Walken.
You want Jules from Pulp Fiction?
Yep.
You hire Samuel L. Jackson, because that's what he's become. He didn't used to be like that.
No, I know. He was a very wide-ranging actor before Jules.
And I remember, I've told you this before, right after Pulp Fiction, I watched him on Letterman, and Letterman is expecting Jules to be there.
Yep.
And Samuel L. Jackson is very soft-spoken, and was like, you know, that's a role that I played. I have a lot of education as far as acting and mm-hmm. different roles, and Letterman just laughed at him. And after that point, everywhere he went, he became Jules.
Yep.
Everywhere.
Even in the Star Wars movies.
Yep.
Grab bag.
I want an M-effing purple lightsaber.
Brought to you by Bernie City Diner.
Get these effing droids off my M-effing ship.
Oh.
And they pay him so handsomely
for
that.
Because he's the one that does it. Our girl hates flying.
And now it's time for another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
This is why I hate flying. We're sitting on the tarmac and going to be taking off late. They make you think you're going to leave on time, but oh boy, nope. You get on board and they got you. Attention, this is the pilot speaking. We sure do appreciate you flying with us. We have your money already and all of your belongings tucked away, so just sit there and shut up, and we'll leave when we're ready. Oh good, we're moving. Or taxi-ing. This is taking a long time. Are we driving there or flying? Oh my gosh, the flight attendant just told a lady to get off her phone and fasten her seatbelt. How could she be so dumb she didn't fasten her seatbelt? They did the announcement right in front of her. Oh no, she's in the exit row. There's no way she's going to understand the door. I'm going to have to step in if there's an emergency. I'll quickly let everyone know that I read the information card in the seat back in front of me. Oh, see? I know the jargon. Oh, I need to relax. Hopefully the booze cart won't be running late. Flight attendant?
And that was another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
And if you're a young man and you haven't learned how to block that frequency yet, I cannot tell you a word she just said.
No.
Because it just went automatically.
Yep.
Whatever it is, it can't be that important.
We are in such a twisted time. Follow me on this. Houston Astros game last night. One of the Astros commentators, he's not the play-by-play guy, he's the commentator on there, is a man by the name of Preston Wilson.
Do they call it color in baseball?
Color commentator, too, yeah. But his name's Preston Wilson, former MLB player. And, oh, and I might also add, he's African-American. They're doing the game, the Astros game. I'm sorry, it was Sunday night. And he made a joke. A baseball joke. But he mentioned slavery. Keep in mind, Preston Wilson, former major leaguer, announcer now, African American, and he made a baseball joke. But people that follow him on Twitter blew it up as being racist, insensitive, cruel.
So he is an African-American racist.
Yes, he is. Yep. Not sensitive. This is so mild, but he is getting so much heat for this. Now, this. Listen, I got the clip. It's a secondary source, so you got to listen carefully. This is the joke he made, a baseball joke. That got his Twitter account just...
I was not aware that there's no joking in baseball.
Yeah, take a listen to this, because he used an analogy of slavery.
I don't know how you
guys feel about this, Blummer and Baggy, but for me, it was the slider. I can take the fastball, but I actually had somebody ask me if I could go back in history and change one thing. I skipped right over Slaver and went to the slider. Yeah. That's how I feel about it.
What's wrong with that?
I'm not even going to comment on that.
I wasn't really prepared for that.
Seriously?
Yeah. And
do people
huge
just
controversy
do people
now.
Just not understand what's funny anymore?
Huge controversy. And it's like ridiculous.
He did that for a reason to illustrate his point.
Yep. And now he's getting all kinds of heat for it.
And he did it in a humorous way.
Yep.
Because the
he was using a baseball analogy of it.
And the idea is that obviously he wouldn't really do that, so he must really hate the slider. Do you have to explain jokes now? What's going to happen to him?
I don't know. I don't know. I have not seen a follow-up if the broadcast station or the Astros are standing by him. He'll probably wind up getting suspended and have to apologize, which I'm sure he might have done already.
There's just insanity everywhere. And, you know, the texter that went after me yesterday because I was being sarcastic about the guy who did a nice thing holding an umbrella for a handicapped person. But I just use that to illustrate where we're at today.
Speaking about some of the other people that have emailed us, I love this one. If we talk about an accomplishment Trump had, allude to Hillary. Why don't you guys realize it's in the past? Get over it. We'll get over it when Hillary does.
I see, looking out at you, that you are following the tradition of over-the-top hats. So I brought a hat, too. A Russian hat. Look, I mean, if you can't beat them, join them.
This woman's got a screw loose.
And has for a very long time. I knew that there was something wrong with that woman when she went on television and insulted the great Tammy Wynette all the way back in the 90s.
Yep. You think I'm going to be around baking cookies for my man? I think that's when the set fell on her.
Yeah.
Remember when Steve Croft was interviewing the two of them and the lighting stuff fell on her?
Well, that's a happy occurrence. I'd like to see that again.
It is. It's readily available on YouTube, where she's doing the serious talk and the lights fall on her.
And she, you know, the one thing that that I can, I guess I don't respect her for it, but one thing she says that makes sense is she is the first one to go, "Oh, I'm not over it."
No. Yeah. Likes to drink her wine. Howard Stern is on Letterman's show. His podcast.
Needs no introduction.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a podcast now.
And he's talking to Letterman about Donald Trump, all the times that he came on the show.
They had a lot of fun.
And basically said Trump would tell you exactly how he felt. And everybody making the reference about him calling his daughter a 10, this is how it came about, and Howard Stern's telling Letterman about it.
To me, a guest who comes on and says anything that is in his mind is a great guest. And he would get on, and no matter what I asked him, he would answer.
Yes.
In a very sincere and thought-out way. I'd say, Donald, and I'd always call him Mr. Trump. He liked that. I'd say, Mr. Trump, tell me, who are the great beauties? If I ask you some names, can you tell me who the great beauties are? He goes, first of all, straight face. The great beauties, Howard, are not actresses. It's models and a lot of these girls who work in the, anyone who works in the entertainment industry, really, I've only seen sixes and sevens. So, you know, I'd say, well, Donald, I think Angelina Jolie is a great beauty. Seven. Really? Why? Well, come on. He goes, you know who's a great beauty? I go, who? He goes, My daughter, Ivanka, now she's a 10. And so we'd have these discussions.
Oh, my.
And, of course, with the internet now, all these tapes are out there. Yeah. And they're still using them on a constant basis.
What are you talking about?
So what?
We have beautiful daughters, Haney. Beautiful daughters.
Yeah, and so what?
Bragging on his daughter. Jeez, these people.
And?
Yeah, exactly. And? I love this. Paul Simon, he's getting old. He's retiring. He's starting to lose his voice. It's not as crisp as it was, and he's getting old.
And I think he may have come down with something called Garfunkel's Revenge.
He's singing, and I kind of recognize the song because I hear the clip. He's singing late in the evening, and he forgets the words.
He's allowed to.
And
he's Paul Simon.
He even makes the joke, I have just forgotten the words of my own song.
Yeah, if he wrote the song, he's allowed to forget it.
Now, one of the songs he regrets ever recording because he says it is such a dated song.
Me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
No.
Kodachrome.
No, the 59th Street Bridge song. We know
Feeling
it
Groovy?
Feeling Groovy. He hates that song. He doesn't like performing it. He doesn't like... Well, he did it to punish himself because he forgot the words of the song that he was playing. Take a listen. Yeah, I love it.
Anybody know the words? Because I made a mistake and forgot the lyrics. That's all. I'm going to penalize myself. I'm going to sing one of my songs that I loathe. This will teach me, because I hate this song.
Hello, lamppost. What you thinking?
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kick it down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
That's hell.
He has said it in numerous interviews. He regrets that song.
Yeah, especially screwing up late in the evening, which is one of his better ones.
I know. Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones is in the new Star Wars movie. Fallon had her on and asked if she could do a Wookiee noise, and she failed.
In the script, there's Chewie dialogue.
I mean, you don't. When you see the movie, it's just Wookiee sounds.
It's just Wookiee sounds.
Like, which is like, I can't do it.
I'm really bad too.
If I give you a few lines, could you give me like a Wookiee line of what that line would be? Because you're supposed to be ready. All right, say, ready to jump to hyperspace.
Oh. I thought it was in my head. I was like, it's getting really
fast. Stand up. Maybe it's because you're sitting down.
Okay,
all right, here we go. This is now. Close your eyes and picture we're in the new Star Wars. All right, and you're supposed to say, watch out, Star Destroyer right ahead.
That
is fantastic. I thought mine was bad, but that is really up there. Oh, my God.
Now, our producer does a very good one. I'm going to ask D-Train right now to step up to the mic and
I don't know if he can do it on command.
Yes,
it's just
he
when
can.
He yawns.
He can do it right. He can.
No, Haney's correct. I can't do it.
Hold it. Just concentrate. Concentrate.
Just try and make yourself yawn.
Concentrate. Here it comes. Is that all?
Yeah.
You did it, man. That's what
First time in 4 years I pulled that off. I'm drained.
Honest to God, when he yawns...
It's perfect.
And the fact that he is a gangly 6'5" really adds to it.
Nice job. Okay, all right.
It is. If you were around the radio station, you'd know it's a running joke.
Yeah.
Because no matter where he is, he'll let loose a yawn. It could be in the hallway. It could be outside. And every time he does it, someone will say, Chewy!
Let me see if I can squeeze this clip in. Rolling Stone put together a very short list of best sketches from this past season of Saturday Night Live.
You know, and I've got it taped. I haven't watched it yet.
And wouldn't you know that one of the best ones comes from an alum, Will Ferrell, doing the bit, the commercial shoot.
All right. You two ready to make a commercial?
Well, we're not actors, but we'll do our best.
We wanted to show real Dickinson's customers showing real enthusiasm for good home cooking. You guys feel ready for a take?
Well, Dan has all the lines. Dan, are you ready?
Give me the line one more time.
Sure. The line is baked in a crispy pastry crust, okay? One more time, that it's baked in a crispy pastry crust. And action!
Baked in a crusty pasty crisp. Crips. Baked in a cruppity flastery puff. Baked in a crispy pastry phlegm.
Okay, cut.
Did I do it?
God, no, Dan.
What did I say?
The wrong thing, Dan.
Okay, no worries there.
Grab bag brought to you by Bernie City Diner.
You know why Will Ferrell is so funny? It really is a simple formula. If you watch virtually everything he does, Will Ferrell, as a kid, took in everything that, like, 70s and very early 80s children's television told you how you should be mm-hmm. and what you should believe mm-hmm. and acts it out literally.
Some people don't find him funny at all.
What?
I find it hard to believe. I love him. But some people do not see the humor in him.
What? Am I hearing you right?
I know. I'm crazy, too. I'm like, what, are you kidding?
He's Ron Burgundy, for crying out loud.
Oh, that's to some, that's the worst he's ever done. We'll be back.
We're just like most of you. Financially devastated ex-husbands, unrepentantly proud fathers, and underappreciated employees. Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Phone lines open. Area code 239-277-9600. If you'd like to talk to us, you could pick up a prize. We got a batch of some good prizes available this week. Tickets to the Rock Pack. Now, what is the Rock Pack? This is, hold on to your seats. America's Rock Tour 2018 Rock Pack, The Legends of Rock. You got singers from Toto, Journey, Kansas, Leonard Skinner, Chicago, all on one stage.
What is this?
It's going to be Saturday. The Rock Pack, Legends of Rock. We got a pair of tickets for that.
Where is that happening?
Barbara B. Mann.
Roll that by me again.
Okay.
Because I heard a guy on the radio talking about something going on at the Barbara B. Mann.
Yeah, Barbara B. Mann Performing Arts Hall, Saturday, May 26th, 8:30 p.m. America Rock Tour 2018.
So
Rock
America
Pack.
Is coming to town.
No, the Legends of Rock.
Okay.
And you've got singers and performers who have been with Toto, Journey, Kansas, Leonard Skinner. In Chicago, and...
So they've all teamed up?
Yes.
Like the Avengers?
And special guest Jimmy Sons with the number one hit song, Gloria. And then on the back, I'm looking at the list, they show you the playlist that they're going to have there. Everybody from whoever band they were in sings a hit from the band and all
that
stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
Harry, would you like to look at that?
Yeah, sure. I would.
Absolutely. Maybe you want to go. Got tickets. We have $20 to Subway. Yeah, we got WWE tickets. Golf for two to River Hall Country Club in Alva.
HD tuner for your car, Miracle Game tickets, Stan bobblehead, $20 to Bernie's City Diner. And if you want an oil change, we got you a standard oil change from Naples Nissan. 277-9600. Contribute. You could get a prize. I have to read this. This is amazing. And Zito talked about it earlier. But when I heard this, I said, you've got to be kidding me. Headline, public supermarket in South Carolina censors high school grad's graduation cake.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. The story starts with a proud mom ordering a cake online for her son's graduation party. On it, she wanted the words, congrats, Jacob, summa cum laude, class 2018. But then she found out the software at the Publix near her home in West Ashley, South Carolina, refused to include the word cum. C-U-M. In the decoration.
There's no need for that to be on a cake.
Yeah, that's what somebody thought. Undaunted, Kara Kosinski used a special...
Did you just struggle with a Polish name?
Kosinski.
There you go.
Used a special instructions box to explain that the offending word was part of a Latin phrase for academic honors. Summa cum laude.
Mm-hmm. I guess we don't have to worry about artificial intelligence just yet.
She included a link in the special instructions to a website explaining the meaning of the word. And so the,
which, of course, means nothing because the people at the bakery just look at it and go, computer says no.
And so the box containing a frosted sheet cake arrived on Saturday for the celebration of Jacob's four...
Hey, it's not the cake's fault. Don't disparage the cake. What did you call it?
Jacob's what?
What did you call that cake?
It's a sheet cake.
Hey!
For Saturday's celebration of Jacob's 4.89 grade point average. Let me tell you something. When I was in school...
Summa dot dot dot.
Yeah, it was 4.0 was the highest you can get. I don't know how you get the 4.89 now.
Extra credit.
Yeah, I guess so.
Show your work.
But summa cum laude, 4.89 grade point average, and admission to a pre-med program for college. And when they opened up the cake, it was a huge shock to all of us, said Kara. Instead of the word cum, there were three hyphens.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats, Jacob. Summa dot dot dot.
Mm-hmm.
Laude. Class of 2018, because they wouldn't put C-U-M on the cake.
It's all completely out of control.
That's why she went, obviously the program on there wouldn't allow it, so she gave the special instructions, a link to what it means.
Computer says no.
And the lady at the bakery wouldn't do it.
Well, she couldn't.
She'd probably get in trouble.
Yep.
For summa cum laude.
Yeah. You know, we've got our own little drama going on now with people attacking Robert E. Lee.
Yeah, I know. Did you see that the guy that wants it down said that he's going to go, and if he has to get aggressive about it, he will, and he's going to take the damn thing.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Another thing that, God, I wish I had it in front of me, but I think it was a high school in the Northeast. And they've got their prom coming up, and their prom was being held at a building called the Constitution Center. And, you know, you're supposed to come up with a theme.
Yeah.
And so the prom invitations had a big American flag, and it said, seniors, come and party with us like it's 1776. You see any issue with
nope.
that?
Nope.
Well, you should, Stan, because life wasn't good for all Americans in 1776. There was a little something called slavery going on then, and that frightens people, and they would feel unwelcome. And this guy who's, I guess, been principal of the school for quite some time, is like, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking trying to celebrate America and our independence and whatnot, building. Because, yeah, I'm totally wrong. I'm beaten down. And so, you know what they did now? Seniors, prom 2018. We cannot reference 1776 anymore.
I am right now. 1776, 1776, 1776.
God, between that and the rain outside, yeah. I'm sorry. I can't help my mood. It's just...
277-9600.
Is it raining everywhere or just here?
It's raining all over the world.
That's what I thought.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, guys. This is Justin.
Hey, Justin, what's on your mind, buddy?
I was just, you guys are talking about crazy news stories. I thought you guys would like this one. I was reading last night, apparently the Boy Scouts of America are having their international jamboree, and they're requiring to hand out condoms now.
No.
I thought there is no more Boy Scouts. It's just Scouts, because girls can come too. Oh, sorry. Won't put that on a kid.
You know what you'll end up with? You'll end up with nothing but transgenders in Girl Scouts because they want to be girls.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy. Last chance. Bye. Ahoy, who's this?
Hello, it's Josh.
Oh, geez, Josh. Sorry to disturb you, Josh.
We've been waiting for you. Yep. What's your report, Josh?
Sorry, I'm at work. I was sitting there doing some paperwork and listening to you guys.
I appreciate
wanted
that.
Wanted to call and just say hello to you guys.
Hello!
How's it going?
All it's, right!
Always a pleasure to listen to you guys.
Thank you, brother.
So what's been going on, Josh?
Nothing. Just working at Clouse Harbor Skilled Nursing Home.
You'd be nice to them. You'd be nice now.
Sometimes it's vice versa.
Don't start.
Oh, well, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, well, in that case, if I was working like in a place like that, I'd tell Mr. Timkins, it's time to get your sun bath.
when
you would be surprised what they asked for.
When's the last time you had fun, Josh?
it's fun every day. Yeah. Every day is a different. Yeah.
I'll tell you, last time I had fun was when I went and visited the old folks' home and gave Mr. Howard his haircut.
You are son.
So that guy was telling the truth.
Hey, what can I get you, buddy?
Can I get those WWE tickets?
Sure.
My son would love that. Hold It'd be on. Fun to take him for something.
Hold on, buddy.
Doing good work there, Josh.
Yep. Yes, D-Train.
So that guy was telling the truth, but it's not a policy made by the Boy Scouts. It's a policy by the World Organization of Scouting. The Boy Scouts will reportedly...
So it's like the UN of Scouting, helmets.
The World Organization of Scouting Movement Handbook requires the host organization to ensure that condoms are readily, easily, and accessible to all participants.
To children.
The Scouts.
Yep, at a number of locations. Since the 2019 World Scout Jamboree will be held in West Virginia on July 21st, it'll be up to the Boy Scouts to provide said condoms.
Scouts. No more Boy Scouts. No more.
That is... every day, it's
something.
It's a more craziness.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Ralph from the Cape. Ahoy, gentlemen.
Ahoy there, Ralph from the Cape.
I have a question for Haney. I got a buddy who is selling a Les Paul guitar. It's 9 years old, and he's asking $300 for it. But then I have another buddy selling a Gibson that's brand new for the same price. Which one should I take?
Well, a Les Paul is a Gibson.
He told me they're two totally different guitars.
Well, they can be, but I mean, you
Les
have to
Paul's
be
a model.
You have to be more specific than saying a Gibson, because Les Paul is made by Gibson. Gibson also makes the SG. They make other guitars.
Because I'm a drummer for 22 years, and I want to learn to play guitars, and they're both selling them, and I'm not sure which one I should really go with.
Okay, is the Les Paul made by Gibson, or is it labeled as Epiphone?
It's not made by Gibson, that's for sure. I know that for a fact. I've seen it.
Well, it would be Epiphone. Is their sub-company, right?
Yeah. What do you know what type of Gibson guitar the other guy has?
No, he just said it's about 6 months old, hardly ever used. The other one is 9 years old.
You got to know what kind it is, though, beforehand.
How much does the guy want for the actual Gibson?
They both want $300.
I don't think that's a Gibson for $300.
Not for $300.
If it is, buy it.
277-9600.
They're probably both Epiphones.
Yep.
Which, there's nothing wrong with that.
But it's not a Gibson.
It depends. You know, a guitar is a tool. It depends on what you want it for.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan. Ahoy, Haney. You know, this stuff, these guys...
Who's this?
Joe, I'm sorry.
Hey, Joe.
How you doing, guys?
Good, buddy. What's on your mind?
All of this stuff, people getting their feelings hurt because it's 1776 and all of, you know, the Robert E. Lee. You might as well change the name of Lee County then.
They're trying to.
They're trying to. See, and that's what amazes me. This is named after Robert E. Lee.
Exactly.
You go to the county commission, and there's a big painting of Robert
E.
Lee.
They want it all
gone. And they want it all down. Well, if that's the case, then you have to change the name of the county.
Exactly. I don't understand why these people are even voicing this. You know, you go back 20 years ago, this wasn't an issue.
Of course not. It wasn't. You know, of course it wasn't.
And as far as the, you know, people getting their feelings hurt because of 1776, there was slavery. Well, heck, you know, go back before then, and there was people eating nuts and stuff, and that wasn't a good time when
right.
people had to.
Let me explain something. Let me explain something to you. What's your name, Joe?
Yeah.
All right.
This is all because of the communists, Joe.
And do you know that most of us. Most of us, I don't know about you, Joe, but most of us are relatives, our great-great-grandparents weren't in this country in 1776. We came from somewhere else.
Absolutely.
You know what? How this country came to be, that was the law of the land. We, our bloodlines, for a lot of us, we're not even here. But we honor the Constitution, we honor our founding fathers for the ideas that they had, not because they chose what was the custom at the time. That's what I don't understand. And as far as Robert E. Lee goes and a statue or a county being named after him, you know what? Robert E. Lee and everybody in the Confederacy were American soldiers beforehand, if they were in the military. Yep. And then after the Civil War was over,
they were
allowed back into the
Union. And it wasn't ceremonial. Confederate soldiers were bestowed the same rights and privileges that an American soldier had.
The whole point of Lincoln and the Civil War with the Union was to return the states to the Union, not bringing in some kind of rebel-hating, you know.
And we can't get into, you know, a gigantic history lesson, but this stuff is not happening by accident.
No, it is not.
It's crazy.
There are people that have been pushing this for a long time, and they've finally pushed it up with enough momentum to start having these ridiculous things happen, and it is meant to divide the country.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call. And I brought this up before, and I would like to know. See, they haven't gotten that far in the pages yet of where they want to go and attack. We look at the presidents of the United States. Well, they are the presidents of the United States of America. Even during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln was the president of the United States of America, Jefferson Davis of the Confederate States of America. They came back in. All of them were granted the same rights that they had before they seceded. Now, why hasn't anybody, if you want to go after somebody, which I think is totally ridiculous, because there's nothing wrong. People back in those days, the United States meant something. You represented your state. The country was formed as the United States. We all now, 50 of us, agree this is the way we're going to run things. And state government was superior to federal government.
Federal government was supposed to be very limited.
Yes.
And mainly on, it was supposed to have the responsibilities of things that were too big for the states,
so,
like national defense.
How many people realize that President John Tyler, President of the United States of America,
when his state seceded from the Union, he felt it his obligation to side with his state, and he was elected to the Confederate Congress, a president of the United States to the Confederate Congress. But nobody does, because nobody does their homework on that stuff. He was a president of the United States, and after he died and his state was brought back into the Union, there's a John Tyler Presidential Library. There are monuments to him because he was president of the United States of America. But these people that are looking at such obvious figures of Robert E. Lee or Thomas Jefferson, why don't you go and look a little further? There was a president that actually went to Congress for the Confederate States, but it doesn't matter. It's a part of the United States of America with all due rights to that. I don't get it. It amazes me. It amazes me. It amazes me. Arlington National Cemetery is Robert E. Lee's backyard. That was his house.
And it's almost as if people want to relitigate the Civil War. It's over and done with.
It's over and settled. And we took those states back in because that was the purpose of the war. We'll be back. Speaking of, Mike Chiannopoulos is coming up next. I don't like to get in a mood like that because of just people being so naive and stupid.
Well, naive and stupid is one thing, but the people that are pushing this agenda are not naive or stupid.
No, they're very calculated. Very calculated. They just haven't dug deep enough. Unbelievable. Let's just go and, because we're Lee County. Oh, Robert E. Lee. How many generals did the Confederacy have? A lot of them. We'll be back. Mike Chiannopoulos taking your phone calls. We're Stan and Haney.
Fred and Barney, Siegfried and Roy, Ralph and Norton, Stan and Haney. Oh, you got to be shit me. You can't pay me enough to say this. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law in studio right now. Boy, I can understand this. You're listening to us right now, and you got crap going on in your life. Somebody's stepping on you, whether it's family law, got the ex-wife, child support, alimony, you got some criminal charges, you got a cop that was harassing
you. Maybe you've been charged with racial discrimination for celebrating the 4th of July.
Life goes on, and sometimes you feel like you're getting stepped on.
Can you believe that, Mike?
I haven't even heard about that. That's just craziness.
It was a high school, and their prom theme, because the prom was being held in something called, I think, the Constitution Building. So their prom theme was Party Like It's 1776 with a big American flag. And then the principal had to issue a formal apology because 1776 wasn't a good time for everybody. So I guess we can't celebrate our independence.
Well, it depends on what country, part of the country you live in. Not in California.
I mean, it's just every day there's some jaw-dropping nonsense. Where what's going on? What happened?
You know, here's my problem with all that. I'm all about equality and fairness. I don't think there should be any division based upon race, based upon gender, based upon sexual preference. You know, I don't care if you're a lawyer and I need a lawyer to hire and you're somebody who's married to a same-sex partner.
What if
that
person happens to be a jerk? Can we discriminate against jerks?
See, now, I discriminate against jerks, and it doesn't matter what race or religion or sexual preference they are. Jerks, I don't like. But I think we got to get to a point at some time in this country where we say, okay, you know what? There's a lot of unfair things that happened in the past. There's a lot of incredibly, painfully unfair things that happened to the Native American in the past. Obviously, to the African Americans, horrible, horrible things happened to them in the past. I'm Greek. I wasn't here. My family didn't get here until the early 1900s.
Well, a lot of horrible things happened when General Sherman went on his march, too.
You know, and that's where I was going to go. I mean, there's no racial or ethnic group that hasn't suffered at some point. So at what point do we get to where we say, okay, there really is true equality now, right? We don't favor any group, racially, gender, sexual preference. We don't favor any group. How do we get to where everybody truly is treated the same? How do we get there?
I don't know, because people now refer to what we grew up with calling patriotism is now white nationalism.
Well, and, you know, here we start removing monuments. You know, did General Lee own slaves? I don't know, but he probably did.
Yeah, he did.
That'd be my guess. I'd be shocked if he didn't during that era.
That was the way it was.
Is that okay? No, that's not okay. It's certainly not okay with me personally. But if we go and take his statue out of and write him out of history, we're making stuff up, right? Whether we like what he did or not. So rather than removing these statues from our founding fathers or other leaders in the country that did things during the Civil War or whatever, we ought to tell the rest of the story. Okay, so instead of taking that statue of Lee or Grant or whoever down, saying they did horrible things, yeah, okay, some of the things they did were horrible, I agree. But let's tell the rest of the story. So let's tell what he did at Appomattox or the battles or whatever, but let's also tell the rest of the story. He was a slave owner, and that was not okay. So rather than removing the truth, why don't we tell the whole truth?
I just think when you go and try to retroactively apply today's standards to historical periods, it's an exercise in madness.
Well, you know, and that's funny because we've talked about that a lot legally with respect to the, you know, hashtag MeToo movement. And I'm very sensitive as an employer today that, you know, people need to be treated equal in the workplace. The female lawyers that work for me get the same pay as the male lawyers that work for me. 25 years ago, when I joined this profession, 27 years ago, it was not that way. I was married to a lawyer, and we had equal credentials. We just graduated law school. We started at different firms. She got substantially less pay than I did just because she was a female. So I get it. 27 years ago, it wasn't fair, right? But Does that mean today we judge things by the same standards? 27 years ago, when I joined this profession, a male lawyer would tell a joke, and it would be okay. Nobody was offended. Everything was fine. By today's standards, that would be unacceptable, and there'd be consequences. Mm-hmm. What we can't do is go back 27 years and say, this person said this 27 years ago, and now we have to hold them accountable because
right.
The standards are different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're talking about touching somebody, you know, sexually harassing by touching somebody or doing a quid pro quo where, well, if you want to keep your job, you have to perform these sexual favors. No, what you know what? The standard for that's always been the same. That's always mm-hmm. been unacceptable. That's always been a form of rape or whatever.
Well, because you knew back 27 years ago it was unacceptable then, too.
That's right. It was unacceptable from time immemorial. So, yes, we can hold people accountable for things like that they did a long time ago, but not for comments that they made or statements that they made if you take them out of context. And I mm-hmm. think if you look at the hashtag MeToo movement, the movement members will tell you the same thing. We'll say, look, we're not trying to hold somebody to today's standard for a comment they made 25 years ago. We're trying to hold them to today's standard, yesterday's standard, the day before standard of not using their power to forcibly get sex or sexual favors. And I think they're right about doing that.
I've said it to Haney before, and I've said it on the air a couple of times, and I usually keep a lot of my thoughts to myself in this regard, but I'm a firm believer that people that are charging racism or discrimination or insensitivity, it's not a question of what color your skin is. I believe it is socioeconomic status. That's what I honestly believe. If you lived in a gated community and your neighbor happened to be an Asian or an African-American, but you guys had the same type of job, you had the same incomes, you had the same kids in the backyard, you're barbecuing together.
Yeah.
And if you are from a lower class or middle class, and you might be living in a trailer park somewhere and have a lot of bills piled up, and you're just trying to get by with your pickup truck and everything. Your neighbor can be white, they can be American Indian, they can be black, but guess what? On Saturday night, you guys are hanging out together in the neighborhood.
That's
it's
right.
Socioeconomic status, and the point in that is I heard one NBA.
So you think the higher level socioeconomic people discriminate against the lower level socioeconomic people, regardless of race?
They're intimidated. Either or, you have a poor person that has to go into a more affluent neighborhood. They're going to feel uneasy. No matter what their race is.
Yeah.
And it has to do with that. It was there was an NBA player talking about the neighborhood that he lived in. And it was a primarily white neighborhood where he and his family moved in. And they said, there's no problem. I'm barbecuing. We're going to the swimming pool in our backyards. We're hanging out. We're going to the same clubs, the same meetings and all that stuff because we can identify with each other. We're peers.
We're peers. That's the issue.
And if you're somebody that's making, you know, $1 million a year, high six figures a year, and you have to go to some inner city thing, you're going to feel uncomfortable. Likewise, if some inner city person had to go to some black tie event, he'd feel uncomfortable.
Yep.
It's socioeconomic status.
You make a good point. And you know, herein also lies the problem. What do you do to even this out to where somebody feels like I don't have to throw the first rock? So we started with, you know, affirmative action. In 1967, they passed, you know, affirmative action laws, and it was intended to be a temporary fix to a long-term problem. Well, you know, almost 50 years later, there's nothing temporary about it. And I don't know that that's the fix, right? So what do you do with it is the question. And I personally think the answer is pretty simple, but the politicians won't do it because they're politicians. And that is you go back to ground zero in kindergarten and you level that playing field. And every kid, regardless of race, religion, ethnic origin, et cetera, gets the same resources per student mm-hmm. and the same education. And then 13 years later, from kindergarten through 12th grade, when they graduate, they have the same qualifications to either go to college or get jobs. But see, politicians are worried about nothing but winning the next election, which is 4 or maybe 6 years away if you're a senator. And so it's not going to take hold. And their political opponent will say they spent millions and millions of dollars. And look, they've gotten no results. Right. Because it takes 12 years and the election cycle is only 4 to 6. And so they're not going to open themselves up to that kind of criticism. So we're never going to address the real root and fix the problem.
Wow. You were all roughly the same age, and I was growing up in the Northeast. And here's how I think addressing a problem has changed for the better. I remember in the early 70s, and it started in Boston, where they bust.
Oh, yeah.
And
riots, violence.
And there was riots, violence. But you know what? You look today, and it's immediately it was a race thing because inner city kids in Boston were being bused to the suburbs to go to school.
Where the whites had fled, white flight.
And what you look at today, and I'm even looking right here at Lee County, and Haney and I having raised two children, two wonderful
together.
Daughters. Yes, well, we're a couple.
Mm-hmm. I was there for the birth.
It's right now, I think it doesn't matter.
I held his hand.
It's school choice.
Remember when I fed you those ice chips?
Yep. You kept me comfortable. That epidural didn't help.
As long as it was his hand.
But, yep. But now today, I mean, I remember with my daughter going to school, it was you had three choices of a school that you wanted to go to. Where did you most want to go to school?
Right.
And it didn't. There were all types of races in there. It was based on your neighborhood.
Well, now it's a mess. I got a kid that just graduated. But yeah, don't even tell me. It's a mess.
Is it?
Yeah, it's absolutely. And what goes on there is wrong. They're doing the best that they can. But the reason that it's wrong is because the whole approach is wrong. And we have to revamp that from the very beginning. And I don't think the politicians have the guts to do what's right because they're too busy acting in their own self-interest rather than in the interest of the constituents who sent them to that office.
Well, how did the communists take over the education system?
Well, that's a long story, Haney, but it started with a Jesuit.
And very interesting conversation, and I know that we want to get into the issue of parallel construction by the federal government and a lot of the cases that they're currently trying and just how horrific that is.
Well, we'll save that for another show.
But it's one last point on this, because guess what? We're running out of time. Here's what is amazing to both Haney and I, and we were talking off the air, Mike, how long we've been here at this radio station. Now,
we can't say certain things.
Nearly three decades.
Yeah. And Haney and I have discussed it before. This happened so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And to...
I remember when it happened, and I think I said to you, are you telling me that same-sex couples are going to the Lee County clerk? Getting it done?
You were there. I don't know if you ever watched that 30 for 30 on ESPN with Christian Leitner, and how in college they were chanting gay, gay, gay when he was on the court, and this was in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And and nobody went and did a damn thing about it. The whole arena is chanting that stuff, and he felt all uncomfortable about it playing college basketball. And the fact of the matter is,
did it turn out that he was gay?
I don't remember. I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe. I don't care. But how it has changed so much. And Haney and I have also gone and looked at our archives from stuff that we did 25 years ago that you could not air today. You could air it.
Right, right.
I once did a test for myself of taking something that we did about 18 years ago, and I counted how many edits I had to put into the piece to
make
re-air
it acceptable
it.
Today.
Well, and I think that was at like 18 or 20 edits.
You know, I saw an article, and it was making the argument Donald Trump has dismantled Barack Obama's legacy. And it was talking about, you know, basically overriding a lot of the executive orders, Obamacare, and just his general approach to foreign policy and everything, pulling out of the agreements. And I thought, oh, well, I see your point, but that's not Obama's legacy. Obama's legacy is social. He is the one that brought us this
socialism
stuff under his administration. And well, I don't think you would have seen same-sex marriage and all of this, you know, gender issues without his administration cheerleading for this stuff and pushing it through. I certainly don't think that would have happened under a Republican administration.
He was a community organizer.
That was his
only job.
But here's the thing.
President.
You can go and hit. This is about how fast it's changed. Whether it's Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, George W. Bush, you go and you listen
all
to speeches that
all
they gave just 5 years prior to their changing. It was, I believe, marriages between a man and a woman, and then they changed it. It changed so quickly. One last thing I want to ask you about, and I want your opinion, because this all started with the Robert E. Lee statue and us being Lee County.
Are we going to have to get you involved in that to protect the general?
Yeah, we might have to. This leads to what I'm saying. The argument that I'm hearing on the news, not only here, but in other places across the country, is that they just want the statues, Robert E. Lee here included, to be moved.
That's step one.
To a cemetery, a museum, and not on taxpayer land where, whether or not you believe it or not, some people who feel that his views were wrong, saying, why should I have to pay my tax dollars for a monument that's sitting on taxpayer land where it could go to a museum
for a man who hated me or whatever.
Right.
You know, all right. Here's what I think about that. First of all, it's wrong. Okay. we have this tendency to romanticize all of our leaders. Look, General George Smith Patton Jr. was one of the biggest buttholes that there was in the United States Army. And we romanticize him of being the greatest general of all time.
But sometimes you need one.
Tactically in the field, he was. He was the greatest general of all time. But don't romanticize him to be a great guy, because he wasn't. Okay? And the same thing with Robert Edward Lee. Look, yes, he did some great things. Okay? Before the war, he was an Army officer, a West Point graduate. And
by all accounts, a gentleman and a scholar.
That's right. But don't romanticize him into being something that he's not.
Right.
Don't move the statute. Tell the rest
of
the
story.
Not just tell the truth, because what we say about him is true, but tell the whole truth.
But do you
see? Don't only tell the good parts of the man. Tell the whole story of the man.
And you know, I totally agree with what you're saying, but it really illustrates my point. You have to say all of these things about something that's already there that no one's had a problem with. On the other side, you don't have to make that argument. You know what you say?
Get rid of it.
I'm offended.
Right.
Yeah,
take it
that's
down.
Right. That's right. And that's where we're at. I you know what? I didn't know it was going in this direction, and I'm looking at the text, and a lot of people are glad it went in this direction today, because you bring a viewpoint. They hear us all the time. You bring a fresh viewpoint into when we have a discussion like this.
And there are constitutional issues here, too,
yeah.
that we don't have time to address in this show.
How do they get a hold of you?
239-ASK-MIKE. Everybody knows
easy.
That. 239-ASK-MIKE. Oh, that's all you got to do. Anytime you press 6 if it's outside of normal business hours, I answer the phone. Unless you're drunk and you call me and tell me, you say you always answer your phone.
I bet you that's happened.
Your phone.
Have you had a drunk call yet?
Just this weekend. You know, I have very few times that happens, but just this weekend I did.
Well, here's a tip for you. You're calling your attorney or somebody that you'd like to be your attorney, be semi-sober.
Yeah, and if you want to call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, it should be for a really good reason, not because you have a legal question.
Like you're calling from a certain bank of payphones.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
Then you can be a little drunk.
239-ASK-MIKE.
Hey, Southwest Florida. You've stuck with us through thick and thin. Feast and famine, war and peace, and everything in between. Don't think for a minute that we don't appreciate it. No matter how we might come across, we love this damn job. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. We'll get you updated on traffic news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Stan's name that movie. In about 30 minutes, chance to get some WWE tickets. Maybe you want to go see the Rock Pack at the Barbara B. Man. Boy, the big stars are out for that one. Golf at River Hall Country Club, a whole lot more. I got to read this. D-Train just handed this to me. Now, first, tell me... What the...
I think they're fixing the leak.
No, they're not. That's Brad out there.
Yeah. Come on, Brad.
He's just doing that to annoy us.
Where did this come from?
Sent to our Facebook page.
It was sent to our Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
Hey, guys. Just now?
I'll give you a timestamp. It was sent 3:37 p.m.
Okay. Well, less than an hour ago. What the hell? Hey, guys. We, the parking lot bank chicks in the Black Jag... want to make a great big whopping kick-ass shout-out to Lovely Waterman. Oh, jeez.
His name is Boy Waterman, not Lovely Waterman.
We are totally thanking him for making us aware of the obstacle in our front tire and then introducing us to precious Lil' Sammy. What the hell?
What is that?
I don't know. He made our day brighter. We cautiously made it back home safely, thanks to him. P.S. had some great conversation also.
Right on.
Rock on.
Want me to call him?
Call him. I'm not putting him on the air. Call him and find out what the hell is this all about and what's the deal with Lil' Sammy. And tell him that if he mentioned me in any way, shape, or form... he's got a price to pay because I'll break his arm. And then
you mean that literally.
Yeah, and then just update me.
You mean as punishment, you would break his arm?
He has no right to talk to strangers
but
about me.
He did a good deed.
We don't know what that good deed is.
And what is little Sammy?
I don't know. This one I want to. Let's get you updated on traffic.
You want to know, but you won't talk to him.
I can't talk to him because I don't want to lose my mind.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All righty. Let's see what we got here. We got a busted ass POS in the road. Boy Scout Drive and Fowler. And then we have another busted ass POS. Alico Road and Interstate Commerce Drive in Fort Myers. I take it he didn't answer his phone.
Apparently he's not within Wi-Fi range because he doesn't have a 4G signal.
You want to make the phone lines light up and the texters go crazy? Next time you do traffic?
Yeah.
And just do it for like a week. Call it Alico Road.
Okay. You got it.
And just watch. It'll blow up all over the place.
All right. Yeah. They think they know.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
That'd be fun.
Alico Road.
Yep.
Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's pronounced Alico.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'll stick to Alico. I'm a broadcaster, okay? Yep. It's Alico.
The things we come up with to amuse ourselves. And we talk about it openly, but it doesn't matter.
Nope.
It'll still happen.
Yep.
Watch.
Yep.
Coming up in less than an hour on the nudes. I don't know if you realize what you said there.
You might want to catch yourself next time you open up your mouth.
We will have some things for you did not know. Some breaking news. Adolf Hitler is not alive and he's not on the moon. They looked into it.
Thank you.
A new study has found that millennials are far more likely to injure themselves during a DIY project.
Yeah, because they don't understand how to do it.
Flap A.
Insert.
A man is facing federal charges after someone takes a photo of him urinating on a seat during a flight. You know, usually they don't catch him.
No. No.
You just go, what? Oh. Yep. And they're long gone.
Yeah. It's only afterwards they spot, this is urine. Where is the person that said, well, they've left.
A woman managed to escape from the police and was so excited about it, she had to share it with her friends on Facebook. You can guess what happened next. And finally... There are certain stories that I do before you ever hear the completion of the story. You know it had to have happened in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
A couple steal a motorized shopping cart from the Walmart and drive it to the bar. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter's very important to us all. Jeez. That's why we now bring to you the 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
D-Train?
Haney?
Honey, I'm home.
Woo!
There's my darling.
Hi.
Hey, baby.
Well, it's official. You can now loiter at the Starbucks.
Yep, you can. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to do anything. You can just sit there. What?
I think that's perfectly good way to get rid of Dave on Friday. Send him down to Starbucks. Whoa. Do nothing for 4 hours.
That's what we got. We got to do that on Friday. We just send him to the Starbucks.
He'll still be asked to leave because he's him.
He can't. He can't be
no
asked
money,
to leave.
No laptop. No. Nope. Just sit there.
Just sit there.
Don't smoke.
Right on.
You're off to the Starbucks and use the restroom a lot.
Yeah, I guess they're not allowed to say a word about
it. They can't.
It would seem to me that if you're running a business, you would have the right to not have
you
people loiter.
Yep.
But I guess when you get bad publicity, you got to weigh the lesser of two evils, I guess. Because, you know, if I was a homeless person, that would be the best news I've heard in a while.
Absolutely. Place to get warm, you know, plenty of facilities.
Kick your feet up.
Take a trucker's bath.
Yep. Get to know everybody there.
You know what a trucker's bath is, don't you guys? It's what I call the patented diamond region. You go into a sink with some soap, and they'll provide you with the soap through the dispenser.
Mm-hmm.
You wash your face, your armpits, and your crotch, thus the diamond region.
That's good information, Stan. A question, if I may.
Yes.
How does that differ from a whore's bath?
Pretty much the same thing. Just remember, always start with the face first.
There it is. Okay.
Well, huh.
So, when it comes to Starbucks, you can go in there, take a whore's bath, trucker's bath.
Trucker's bath, diamond region.
Yep. Start with the face.
Always. It's for your own benefit. Start with the face first.
But I guess there are still some behaviors that are frowned upon.
Yeah.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
things you shouldn't do at a Starbucks.
Top things you shouldn't do at a Starbucks.
Sit Dave at a table all day with his own tip jar.
We can do that, too.
I'm here to stay, brother.
Get him a big mason jar. Throw a couple of ones and coins in there and see if anybody else helps him out.
Sigh like your world is crumbling when the barista says they're out of blueberry scones.
Pardon.
Bring a flask of cheap bourbon and pour it into all the containers a half and half.
Have you been drinking today?
Yes, yes I have.
Announce that you're Yanni all the way and will physically fight anyone who's a Laurel. Woo! Buy their entire supply of cake pops and invite the local homeless population inside to help you finish them.
Yep. We'll probably sit around and cook
cake
some
pops.
Soups and eat bread and cake desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
Good. Come down later for moose soup.
Oh, we got a little competition going on there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Eat bread and dessert.
Come down later for moose soup.
Cook some soups.
Come down later for moose soup.
It's also terribly tempting, ladies.
Then just get all fat and sassy.
Damn it.
It's a shame there could only be one winner.
Yeah.
Ask them to crank up the volume when the Michael Bublé comes on. Wonder aloud whether it may be possible to get something better to eat for $12 than a lukewarm egg sandwich on soggy bread.
Potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce!
Use it as an office, including framed photos of your family. Eat your oatmeal with the ladle attached to the bathroom key. Sit down and explain you don't want to order yet because you're awaiting the arrival of your well-regulated, well-armed militia. And finally, the very top thing you shouldn't do at a Starbucks.
Yes.
come out of the bathroom and say, look, I know it's not your policy anymore, but after what I just did in there, I really feel I should buy something.
Don't you dare talk to me like that.
You shut up, Maxine.
Well, no.
You're an idiot.
Oh. And that's very important.
Yeah. You're an idiot.
Don't you dare talk to me like that.
Don't you dare talk to me like that.
Your reading comprehension is at a first grade level.
They are undermining our democracy.
Whose democracy? Do you even know what that word means?
First of all, let me thank Hillary Clinton.
For what?
Well, you know, I think the story has not been written yet.
Yeah, it's true.
The story's over. Story time's
over. There's nothing
over.
to misinterpret. He said what he said.
Yeah. All right, I'm confused now.
No, you're not confused.
Email.
I'm out to impeach this president.
I know you are. Ahoy at StanandHaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at StanandHaney.com.
No.
Yeah, and I'm out to colonize Mars.
Yep.
And so we know about that checkered past.
What about yours? What about
yeah,
that?
What about your
what about
checkered
that
past?
Bank with your husband?
I'm a strong black woman.
Okay. This is no name, just hello from Austin, Texas.
Donna.
On vacation and tapped an iHeart app, and there you both were. I'm from Naples and thought I would just say hello. They don't live there. They're just on vacation in Austin.
You do that from time to time.
I do. I like it there.
This What's your favorite thing to do in Austin?
Eat and drink Lone Star beer.
Breads and desserts?
And get all fat and sassy.
Okay.
This is from Rob the Limey. Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, thank you for the Tay-Tay tribute yesterday. I unfortunately sat through those awards the other night, but enjoyed spotting Tay-Tay in the audience, having funsies with her a-hole buddy.
Did you see what she's done now?
What?
She bought up multiple buildings in New York.
Good for her.
And she's going to connect them all. And it's going to be like a bat cave where she can just drive in, close the garage door behind her.
She can do it, and I'll support her on it.
It's like $50 million worth of real estate before the renovations.
This is from the Rucci family of Naples. Guys, we listen every day. We love you both. I love the Guess the Movie and the songs. Don't ever change. Thanks for putting smiles and much-needed laughter into our lives. Signed, the Rucci family.
Oh, and we love you, Rucci family. It's always nice to get a note that says, stay sweet, don't ever change.
Don't ever change. This is from Chris. All right, Chris, I'm going to try to read your email here. It sounds like it's pretty good. Hey, Stan and Haney, please check out capestylemag.com. The story is about me, a longtime listener. But please mention the USS Nimitz, CVN-68. May 26, 1981, the day of the crash, is coming up this week. You can look it up yourself. I just feel we should say something about them, not me. Thanks. You guys do a great job each and every day. Signed, Chris. Thank you, Chris.
All right, I'm trying to figure out what we're supposed to be looking at. The article is about me. Well, they have more than one article.
Yeah.
Is the article about the Nimitz?
I think it said mention the Nimitz. Real quick, because we got to take a break. The Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Stan, are you sure what you saw in the woods wasn't just Dave the Waterman wearing a fur coat?
Well, he's here to stay, bro.
Yeah. You guys are the best. Sign the Guardian.
He's done it again!
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, a chance for you to win. We got some great prizes. Stan's Name That Movie. 5 clips featuring the actor, Christopher Walken. We'll be back. We're the Stan and Haney Program.
Oftentimes, people approach us and ask if we went to high school together. Sadly, the answer is no. We never went to high school.
Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Mark Haney in the news in about 30 minutes.
I know you got traffic coming up.
I do, but there's no Alico Road on this one.
So whatever that was on Alico Road is cleared?
Yes. Yeah, there's no Alico Road.
So you're all clear on Alico Road?
Yes, we are. Yeah. Let's get you updated.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Both of these are in Lehigh Acres. We've got a crash, Lee Boulevard, right by Deb's Seafood. And then another
one. Is that General Robert E. Lee Boulevard?
Yes. Yes, it is. And then we got a crash, Homestead Road North, right by the Walgreens, 38 block of Homestead Road in Lehigh Acres. No injuries.
Right there by the Walgreens?
Yep, right by the Walgreens. And you are up to date. Time now to play Stan's Name That Movie. Today, featuring the films of Christopher Walken.
Hey, what's Christopher doing? He's walking.
Yeah, he sure is. Hey, you know what? There was like a billion movies to choose from. He's been in so many. If you're the first person to identify the film, you'll have your choice of some of the prizes that we have. One prize, winner's choice. Maybe you'd like a pair of tickets to the Rock Pack coming to the Barbara B. Mann Saturday night. Haney, who are some of the people that we might recognize? Some of the bands, I guess they're like lead singers and vocalists of various bands. What bands will be represented?
Well, you got Bobby Kimball from Toto, Kevin Chalfant from Journey, John Elefante from Kansas, Randall Hall from Lynyrd Skynyrd, and Bill Champlin from Chicago.
All right. We also have a pair of tickets to the WWE July 30th at Germain Arena. We have $20 to Subway. We have a free standard oil change from Naples Nissan. We have golf for two at River Hall Country Club in Alva. It's our deal of the week. We have an HD tuner for your car. We have tickets to The Miracle, your choice. Stan bobblehead signed by Haney, I won't touch it. And $20 to Bernie's City Diner in Naples. D-Train, lock the phones, because I will release them after the first clip. Your job is to identify the film. If you're the first one to do so, you will have your choice of one of those prizes that I've mentioned. It's Christopher Walken. First couple of ones are, I think they're hard. Maybe not for you. Name this movie.
Mr. Zora, call the police, Mr. Howe. What's going on? Tell them there's been a break-in. Ask them to get here as soon as possible.
You're being used, Mr. Howe.
Do it.
Police emergency.
Hello. We've had a break-in here. City Hall, office 306. Come at once. What have they done?
You discharged her. So she and her accomplice came here to kill you. Then they set fire to the office to conceal the crime. But they were trapped in the elevator and perished in the flames.
But that means I would have to be
dead.
Name the movie. This is a hard one, unless you're a fan of those films. 277-9600. And that happened to be the last film that one of the characters played. He played it for a long time. And then they moved on to somebody else. Name the movie, 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Tom.
Tom, you think you can name that Christopher Walken film?
Is it A View to a Kill?
It is A View to a Kill. James Bond, yes. That was Roger Moore's last James Bond film, and you got it. Nice job. What would you like?
Thank you. I guess oil change.
You absolutely. Standard Oil Change from Naples Nissan. Tell them Stan and Haney sent you. We'll get you all set up with that, okay?
Thank you.
All right, hold on. Yeah, Duran Duran did the theme to that one. View to a Kill.
Only Roger Moore Bond films were fun.
They were fun. And that was the last one that he did. Movie clip number two, we're talking about Christopher Walken. You name the movie, and you'll get yourself a prize. Got to be the first one to do it. Name this Christopher Walken film.
There was this guy, big guy, Irish-Italian, red face, black hair, jolly son of a bitch. Wait a second. Nobody could make me laugh like him. He made a science of collecting jokes. Closed my bars together and I could count. And he was a pal. I loved a crazy Mick. I'm not ashamed to say that, but he was a f*** up. He had his image of himself. And Donald was a con man. Always trying to shave the edge. He was nickel and dime. I'll always miss him. Tell me why.
Tell you why what?
Tell me why I miss him.
He's dead?
That's right. He is dead, but tell me why.
How do I know? I don't...
Tell me why he's dead.
Because you killed him.
That's right, I did. I killed him. He f***ed up one too many times, so I put a bullet in his eye. Then I put two more into him just to make sure. Now, that was somebody I loved. I loved him. But I got the call. I put him down like a sick animal. So, if you got doubts about what's going to happen if you don't deliver, let me tell you something. I made gravy out of your little girl just to season that black Irish meat.
Name the movie. Christopher Walken Films, your job is to tell us what movie that is. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Jim.
Jim, can you do it?
I can only guess. King of New York?
No. No, it is not. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Dick. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, Dick.
Yep. Yeah.
Thanks for playing.
Yep. Yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
Mike.
Mike, can you do it?
Is that True Romance?
Nope, it is not. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Brad.
Brad, can you do it?
Is it King of New York?
Nope, it is not King of New York. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Brent.
Brent, can you do it?
Yep, Nick of Time.
It is Nick of Time. You are absolutely correct. Nice job on that.
Thank you.
What would you like?
Can you repeat? I'm not sure. What you
well,
got.
Do you want to do something? Do you want to eat something? Do you want a bobblehead or a HD tuner? I've got golf. I've got food. I've got what else have I got?
Food's good.
All right.
What do you got for food?
I got Subway and Bernie City Diner.
Bernie City Diner sounds good.
You got it, buddy. Hold on.
See, that's what we do. We make dreams come true.
Yeah, we sure do. We're up to movie clip number three, Christopher Walken Films. The only thing that I will say about this to help you on it is this movie, unlike many Christopher Walken films, you could take the whole family to. There was no worry about what was going to happen. This was all good family
fun. Sorry,
fun.
I see his name on the marquee. I get nervous.
Name this movie.
You got asbestos, all right. I bet it's up in the ceiling, mostly. Shouldn't take me more than a day or two to remove it.
Okay, then. So we're going to go upstairs.
All right, well, we'll all go upstairs.
Yeah. Okay, then. Yeah.
What are you doing?
listening anymore.
Oh, good. Well, you're the expert. I just hope you can take care of this, whatever it takes. We've been trying to catch this little menace all week.
Here's your problem. Normal people are not psychologically equipped to catch mice. You have to get inside their mind. You have to know what they want, need. You have to think like a mouse. If you can do that, if you can think like a mouse, you can anticipate their moves. Then, boom, sayonara, mouse.
Well.
Name the movie. Could take the whole family to that one. Unlike Nick of Time, where you wouldn't want to bring a child to that. It wouldn't be a wise decision. Ahoy, who's this? Love the phones, especially with it raining now, too. It makes it all the better. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Aaron.
Turn your radio down, please.
Okay.
So you can hear me. What's your first name again?
Aaron.
Aaron, can you name the movie?
Mousetrap?
No, it is not Mousetrap. Oh, no, it's not.
Do the Mouse.
Yeah, Do the Mouse, like Soupy Sales. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Timothy.
Timothy, can you name it?
Mousetrap.
No, it is not Mousetrap. 277-9600.
I understand that's an incorrect answer, Stan, but you don't need to get angry about it.
Ah, come on. It's at half right. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Ricky.
Ricky, you know it's not Mousetrap, right?
No, sir, it's Mouse Hunt.
Yes, sir! You got it, Ricky. What would you like?
I'll do the City Diner. You got him?
Yeah, you got it. Bernie City Diner. Hold on. Mouse Hunt. Here you go. Christopher Walken film number 4. Your job is to name the movie. I think he was nominated for an Academy Award for this in a supporting role.
My son bought me a Cadillac today. I think that calls for a toast. You're the best damn pilot in the sky.
It's not what you think. I'm just a co-pilot.
You see these people staring at you? These are the most powerful people in New York City. And they keep peeking over their shoulders, wondering where you're going tonight. Where you going, Frank?
I had nobody staring at me.
Someplace exotic? Just tell me where you're going.
Los Angeles. Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Name the movie. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Tom.
Tom, can you name the movie?
Catch Me If You Can.
It is Catch Me If You Can. What would you like?
WWE, please.
Done. Hold on. Simple as that. Got one more for you. Easiest one out of the whole batch. But it is a Christopher Walken film. Name it.
Great-grandfather gave this watch to granddad for good luck. Unfortunately, Dane's luck wasn't as good as his old man's. Dane was a Marine, and he was killed, along with all the other Marines at the Battle of Wake Island. Granddad was facing death. He knew it. None of those boys had any illusions, but ever leaving that island alive, so 3 days before the Japanese took the island, your granddad asked a gunner on an Air Force transport named Wanaki, man he never met before in his life, to deliver to his infant son, we'd never seen in the flesh, his gold watch. 3 days later, your granddad was dead, but Wanaki kept his word. After the war was over, he paid a visit to your grandmother, delivering to your infant father his dad's gold watch. This watch, watch was on your daddy's wrist when he was shot down over Hanoi. He was captured, put in a Vietnamese prison camp.
He knew that if the gooks ever saw the watch, it'd be confiscated, taken away. The way your dad looked at it, this watch was your birthright. He'd be damned if any slope's gonna put the greasy yellow hands on his boy's birthright, so he hid it. In one place he knew he could hide something, his 5 long years he wore this watch, up his Then he died of dysentery. He gave me the watch. I hid this uncomfortable hunk of metal up my 2 years. Then, after 7 years, I was sent home to my family, and now, little man, I give the watch to you.
Shouldn't be too hard.
Mousetrap?
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Bill.
Bill, name it.
Pulp Fiction.
You got it. What would you like?
Can I do the concert?
Yeah, you can. I'm going to give you a pair of tickets to the Rock Pack concert this Saturday at the Barbara B. Mann.
Awesome, thanks.
All right, buddy, hold on. That's the way to play it. Outro, Haney?
You know, I've received compliments recently for doing this, and I hope that you appreciate that.
I do.
That.
Yeah, it means a lot to me. Close this down and just turn things over to you here. And
all right. You can... And here we go.
Okay.
And that concludes Stan's tribute to Christopher Walken. Tune in next week as Stan pays tribute to Samuel L. Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
From Radio City in Estero, this is Mark Haney speaking.
Oftentimes, people approach us and ask if we went to high school together. Sadly, the answer is no. We never went to high school.
Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, gang. Stan and Haney here. Hope you guys are dodging those raindrops on Alica Road. Let's keep it safe out there. We're going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. Mark Haney and the news. Coming up next, Roger Marley in at 6 o'clock, and he will take you through your evening. That's about 50 minutes away. So let's get you updated on traffic.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Okay, we'll start in Fort Myers. Crash, South Tamiami Trail at the Parker Promenade, right by the Good Deals Appliances. And then this is in Lehigh Acres. Got a crash. Hold on a second. It's listed as Street West and Connie Avenue North. All right, so you know where that is. It's near Construction Lane, I guess.
How far is that from Tamimini Trail?
Not far at all. And you are up to date. We'll have one more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And it starts right now.
This is Eyewitness News with Ernie Anastas, Roseanne Scamardella, Warner Wolf, Spencer Christian, and the Eyewitness News team.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Tuesday, May 22nd.
Double M, XV, triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney.
Just a little hats off to our road watchers out there who have noticed a crash on Metra Parkway and Colonial.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
It's time now for some things you didn't know.
Okay. I just want to let that texter know. It's Metro. Metro.
Good to know.
Yep.
Good to know, Stan.
Yep, yep.
Good to know. Do you know what the first CD was that was manufactured and sold in the United States?
Music CD.
Yep. The first one that was manufactured and sold in the United States.
I know we've had the discussion before. I bought my first one in 1988. I don't know. It's probably some classical music or something.
The first compact disc, which by today's standards, there is nothing compact about it.
Nope.
The first CD made and sold in the United States was in 1984.
Whoa.
Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA.
Huh. That sold a lot, I bet.
By the way, it's been a while since I asked. How's your cat doing?
Oh, don't ask. It's...
Stan has a jungle cat in his home.
It's mean. It's... And now with these birds...
Still growing?
These birds building...
These what?
These birds building a nest right in the soffit and fascia of my roof.
Where the cat feels like it should be able to get them.
My screen's becoming shreds.
Well, cats are nothing to mess with, Stan.
No.
Cats are known as the serial killers of the animal world. They've determined that cats, remember when I say cats, it covers different mm-hmm. shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
Cats are responsible for killing off altogether at least 33 different species of birds, mammals, and reptiles.
Killing them off.
To extinction.
These creatures.
You know, if you listen to the global warming people.
Yeah.
It's our fault because we drive automobiles. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah. You need an eco-friendly car. Electric stuff. You got to realize your carbon footprint. You're ruining this world of ours. Ride a bike. Right? You know, that's what you got to do.
But aren't electric cars more dangerous to animals? They don't hear you coming.
That's true.
Well, it's been said for years, loud pipes save lives.
Yep. That's why your Harleys, your hogs, they're good and loud. They make that sound of a hog so that people can hear you around you.
Well, it turns out, I know this will come as a shock to you, Stan, because they're normally so reliable, the global warming people.
Right, yeah. Always up to date on the latest science.
Well, the science is in,
mm-hmm.
okay? And if cavemen hadn't been so stupid and reckless with what they were doing, they wouldn't have had an ice age.
That's right.
Cars, really, in the grand scheme of things, not all that important. The big issue?
Yeah.
Shipping.
Oh. That's major.
It has been determined that the 16 largest ships in the world produce as much or more pollution than all 800 million cars in the world combined.
800 million to 16, not million, thousand, 16 ships.
Yeah, that's just 16 boats. Not even counting the rest of them. Billy Joel, what a successful man.
Yeah.
Well, career-wise.
Oh, yeah. Not in love.
He's been unlucky in love.
Yeah.
We hope he's found it now.
Mm-hmm. And he's off the wine.
Because he's a wino.
Yeah, different than an alcoholic.
Billy Joel wasn't always so successful. He started out in a two-man rock band called Attila in 1969 and 1970. They produced one album. And it's pretty much forgettable. It only excels in one way.
What?
It is on multiple lists of the worst rock albums of all time.
My dad's buddy had the album.
Yeah? How was it?
I didn't listen to it. He wouldn't allow me.
Could have hurt yourself.
Yeah, probably.
Seems like around this time of year, the NFL always starts to mess around with the rules and change things. They're talking about doing away with the kickoff.
That's ridiculous.
Well, football has changed over time. There was an innovation that really livened the game up called the forward pass. When football first started, the forward pass was illegal. You'd get a penalty.
Yeah, you just had to run with the ball.
When was the forward pass added to football?
I have no idea.
The forward pass wasn't added to football until 1905, 36 years after the sport started. And it wasn't like it is now. A forward pass, when they first approved it, came with big risks as well.
Oh, hey, quarterback, you sure you want to do this?
Picture this in today's NFL, if these rules were still in place. A dropped pass would cost the team 15 yards. Back them up.
For dropping the ball.
Yep. Right. Now, that's if the receiver at least made an attempt and touched it and didn't catch it.
Right.
You see them throwing the ball away all the time. If they did it back then, a forward pass that did not touch anyone was not considered an incomplete pass. It was a turnover. The other team takes possession of the ball.
Oh, you want to risk it?
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead. Cost us the game by this forward pass.
Not that long ago. I mean, in the grand scheme of things.
Somebody just texted, and I'm going to say right again, Haney. And they said, oh, the NFL is going to be two-hand touch, you know, before you know it. You said that.
Years ago.
That the way the NFL is going, enjoy it. Because in the future, it's not going to be the way you remembered it.
They're going to showbiz it up, and the game is going to just fade into the background.
Yep.
They'll just try to build personalities for you to root for. The game won't mean all that much. I don't know if you saw this. I saw it. It came out after we were done with the show yesterday. And I'm not at all surprised about it, because the way the music industry is now, they have young, impressionable white kids listening to, buying, singing along with these rap songs.
Yeah.
That are full of things that you probably don't want your kids saying.
Right.
Well, Kendrick Lamar performed at a music festival in Alabama on Sunday. And he invited a young white lady named Delaney on stage to perform his song, Mad City. You know, basically like taking a fan out of the audience and come on up.
Yeah, like the Foo Fighters do.
That particular track has more than a dozen N-words in it. and it's a big part of the chorus. Again, the girl he called up is white, and she did not self-edit. She's up there performing with him.
That's what he asked her to do.
The crowd started booing, and Kendrick stopped the music and admonished her.
Oh, please. Are you going to tell me he didn't know that this was coming up?
Exactly. He explained to her that she's not allowed to use that word.
Then what did he bring her up on stage for? To shame her?
Yeah. She apologized, said she didn't know, and he let her try again. She awkwardly tried to self-edit because the song doesn't flow when you remove part of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And she got very self-conscious about it and tripped off, so he cut her off, and everybody was booing her, and just a complete setup. Complete setup.
Yep, that's what it was. Setup. Again, to stir and agitate. He knew damn well what he was doing. Of course he did. Of course all the promoters and everybody knew damn well what he was doing. And then humiliate somebody.
It's a crying shame, Stan. Yeah. In a moment.
You can help support the Stan and Haney webpage by going to stanandhaney.com and clicking the Amazon website icon. Save that to your favorites. Then simply use that link to access Amazon. It costs you nothing and helps support the Stan and Haney page each and every time you shop.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, a team of French researchers just finished an exhaustive study, and they have announced officially Adolf Hitler is not alive and living on the moon.
Oh, God.
They've determined he probably passed away in 1945. Researchers got this scoop by convincing Russia to let them examine the last known pieces of Hitler that exist. A chunk of the skull and maybe a tooth.
Didn't they do that a few years ago and found out it was a woman?
Russia collected the pieces after the war, and they've kept them locked up. When the researchers compared them with World War II autopsy records, the Frenchies confirmed, well, they must be him.
That's not true. They've done that before, and what they were holding wasn't even him. It was like German woman.
The thrust of the research is that he is not living on the moon.
Oh, well.
They feel like they've got pretty good evidence that he is not.
Yeah, that's solid.
Yeah. Well, you know, on the dark side of the moon, there's that big base where all the different alliance vehicles are.
Yeah, and a lot of music.
Mm-hmm. Strange music. Yeah. Almost like science fiction space music.
Yep.
Like a whistling.
Yeah.
Should we say anything about that?
No, keep it quiet.
Well, they're going to want to know.
No, don't tell them. And all the astronauts are sworn to secrecy.
Well, okay then. If you think that's what's best.
Yeah.
Last week, police in Moses Lake, Washington, pulled over 27-year-old Giovanni Powell for driving with a suspended license. A 19-year-old woman named Kayla Irizarry was in the car, and since she wasn't breaking any laws, the cops let her go.
Okay.
But then they searched the car. They found her purse, which had her ID, a firearm, and just a bit of heroin.
Just a touch, just to, you know, get by.
Now, at the tender age of 19, Kayla is already a convicted felon. So, heroin aside, she can't legally own a gun.
That's true.
Now, remember, they let her go. Mm-hmm. They found this stuff after the fact.
Wasn't breaking any law at the time.
Now, what do you suppose Kayla did with her freedom?
What?
She went home and got on Facebook.
No.
And not just her page or her friends. She specifically looked for the police department's Facebook page and bragged and taunted them about how she got away from them.
Stupid.
And outsmarted them.
Yep. Guess again.
What do you suppose they did?
They went and looked at her license, went to her house, and arrested her.
Yeah, they made it a point.
Yeah.
They moved her right up the list.
Oh, look at this piece of work. That is one messed up chick. 19 is what you said?
Yep. And a convicted felon. You know, they got her on the firearm and the heroin.
Yeah. Couldn't tell by looking at her that she's a user, huh?
Look at those eyes.
No kidding. She's messed up.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, a 50-year-old gent named Jeffrey Sable and a 32-year-old woman named Santa Marie Walters went to the Walmart in Largo last week.
All right.
And they thought it would be a good idea to steal one of Walmart's motorized shopping carts.
Bad move.
Well, they didn't take it just for a joyride, just for kicks. They had a destination.
Did they now?
They rode the stolen motorized Walmart shopping cart to the bar. The bar and Walmart are a whopping 0.7 miles away from each other, so you can see how a 10-minute walk, well, come on. The police found them and the motorized cart at the bar, where they were promptly arrested for theft.
Look at these two! What the hell is the... These are just mistakes. These are mistakes.
Come on. If they can get Trump for what he said about MS-13, they'll crucify you.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Nancy Pelosi will be telling you there are no mistakes.
Yeah. Don't they have those magnetic things on the in the parking lots that prevent you from wheeling those stuff that stuff off?
I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking crazy.
That's crazy talk.
And that's the news for today, Tuesday, May 22nd.
Double MXV Triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Marky Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. Yeah, I could be in big trouble.
Oh.
we're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
A lot of people ask us how the hell we've managed to stay on the air for so damn long. Well, there's a bunch of reasons, but here's two of them. Our guardian angel wears a hard hat, and Father Pete had to call in a few favors. Without that, we'd have been gone in 1998. And that's the truth. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. Roger Marley coming in at 6 o'clock. He'll take you through your evening. Let's get one more look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, we got a lot of stuff that's showing up on Daniels Parkway next to a bunch of other stuff, so I'm wondering if it's just in the same area or all over the place. Well, here we go. Crash
Daniels Parkway, right by the Speedway in the 9200 block. Then we have, well, this is the 5200 block of Daniels Parkway, hit and run by the Bank of the Ozark. And then we have one more, American Colony Boulevard and Daniels Parkway. Crash. Then we're dealing with another crash, Fort Myers, McGregor Boulevard and College Parkway. And one more for you. It's in Estero. Crash, Three Oaks Parkway and Corkscrew Road. And you are up to date. Enjoy this one. This is one of the coolest mashups that's out there.
Reads for this one.
Thank you.
And that's the end.
Time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic.
Classic comedy like it used to be on 96K-Rock.
It is just getting harder and harder to be a human. I notice people are getting more and more judgmental. I saw an actor apologize for something on the news and my friend blurted out, he only apologized because he got caught. And I said, well, yeah. That's how apologies have always worked. If you apologize before you get caught, that's a confession. Learn your words. I do think it's getting easier to be youngster. Every time I hear the phrase, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you, I think it was a lot harder to be a kid when that was coined. Not only were you getting hit with sticks and stones, but you were getting made fun of so much it made sense to compare those two quite unrelated experiences. How was school today? Not good. They called me a loser, but all things being equal, it was a lot better than that time they hit me with all the stones. That's literally how they murdered hookers in the Bible. Take it down a notch, guys. We're 12.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. We leave you this afternoon with this.
So, when it comes to Starbucks, you can go in there, take a whore's bath, trucker's bath.
Trucker's bath, diamond region.
Yep. Start with the face.
Always. It's for your own benefit. Start with the face first.
But I guess there are still some behaviors that are frowned upon.
Yeah.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
things you shouldn't do at a Starbucks.
Top things you shouldn't do at a Starbucks.
Sit Dave at a table all day with his own tip jar.
We can do that too.
I'm here to stay, brother.
Get him a big mason jar. Throw a couple of ones and coins in there and see if anybody else helps them out.
Sigh like your world is crumbling when the barista says they're out of blueberry scones.
Pardon.
Bring a flask of cheap bourbon and pour it into all the containers a half and half.
Have you been drinking today?
Yes, I have.
Announce that you're Yanni all the way and will physically fight anyone who's a Laurel. Woo! Buy their entire supply of cake pops and invite the local homeless population inside to help you finish them.
Yep. We'll probably sit around and cook
cake
some
pops.
Soups and eat bread and desserts
all,
and just get all fat and sassy.
You guys are doing good. Come down later for moose soup.
Oh, we got a little competition going on there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Eat bread and dessert.
Come down later for moose soup.
Cook some soups.
Come down later for moose soup.
It's also terribly tempting, ladies.
And just get all fat and sassy.
Damn it.
It's a shame there could only be one winner.
Yeah.
Oh, my God!
Ask them to crank up the volume when the Michael Bublé comes on. Wonder aloud whether it may be possible to get something better to eat for $12 than a lukewarm egg sandwich on soggy bread.
Yes, potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce! Woo-hoo!
Use it as an office, including framed photos of your family. Eat your oatmeal with the ladle attached to the bathroom key. Sit down and explain you don't want to order yet because you're awaiting the arrival of your well-regulated, well-armed militia. And finally, the very top thing you shouldn't do at a Starbucks.
Yes.
Come out of the bathroom and say, look, I know it's not your policy anymore, but after what I just did in there, I really feel I should buy something.
Don't you dare talk to me like that.
You shut up, Maxine.
Well, no.
You're an idiot.
Oh. And that's very important. Yeah.
You're an idiot.
Don't you dare talk to me like that.
Don't you dare talk to me like that.
Your reading comprehension is at a first grade level.
They are undermining our democracy.
Whose democracy? Do you even know what that word means?
First of all, let me thank Hillary Clinton.
For what?
Well, you know, I think the story has not been written yet.
Yeah, it's true.
No, the story's over. Story time's over.
There's nothing to misinterpret it. To misinterpret. He said what he said.
Yeah. All right, I'm confused now.
No, you're not confused.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.